This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
JD Clayton, my man.
How's it going?
It's good to meet you, brother.
Dude.
Boom. Happy morning. We both had late nights last night, huh?
I'm very tired right now.
So am I. Dude, I don't stay out like I used to. And you were telling me you got little ones now, right?
Yeah, I've got two kids. And I don't stay up as late with them.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. It's funny. Like, you get my Apple Watch will tell me at night, like, it'll approach like 9:30, 10 o'clock, and they'll be like, you need to be in bed. Like, your sleep time's
coming.
What
are you doing, man? Bad habits you're creating.
What are you doing? It's like, what are you doing? Even though you work in music and you need to be at the bars, what are you doing now?
Yeah.
At 11 o'clock. It's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your child is? Like that kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a tough industry that we work in because we need to be up late. But in the real world, we need to go to bed early and get good sleep and be healthy. But it's very hard to balance.
It is, man. It is. But there's something about it where it's just like, because I used to spend time out on the road, and I actually used to bounce downtown. I've worked odd hours my whole fucking life, dude. Like, been all over the place. Like, what were you doing before you were doing the music thing?
I've done a lot of jobs. I worked for a landscape company during COVID.
Oh, hell yeah.
Before that, it was nice. It was me, Nico, Jose, and Alfredo on one truck. Just like
hell yeah. Shout out Alfredo. I love that name.
Good guy. I went over to his house for a couple birthday parties, and pretty legit. His mother-in-law could cook some, I don't know what you would call it. It was like a stew with, like the whole chicken was in there.
Wow.
But really good stuff.
Yeah.
Not exactly sure what it was, but very good. That was fun. But before that, I would cold call for a freight brokering company at the LNC Tower downtown.
Oh.
That was rough.
Yeah.
That'll make a grown man want to choose any other path. So I chose music.
Yeah, and I think it's working out well for you, dude. Like, I think you made the right call, but it makes
Thanks,
you appreciate
man.
Doing what you want to do when you have those fucking shit jobs,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It was rough. Not for me.
Yeah.
Not for me.
So how long have you been up here? Because you're originally from a very underrated place in
dude.
Fort Smith, Arkansas. I like Fort Smith, bro.
They're going to love
I like Fort Smith.
That's so sweet.
The Majestic. I've had some good times there.
It's a place for good times. If you need to have a good time, that's a place to do it.
Go to Fort Smith,
it's
Arkansas.
One of the places to do it, yeah.
It's not just Fayetteville and Little Rock. Fort Smith. Fort Smith is pretty
you
good.
You need to stop. You're getting me. I'm feeling kind of warm
That's just the coffee warming
really
up, JD.
That's really sweet of you to, you know.
I liked it, man. I liked it because there's that strip, and there were a few bars, like little. You got that real, like, small town, and it's cool because what's unique about Arkansas for me is that you have so much Texas influence where it is like that Midwest, but Texas isn't even Midwest. It's its own thing.
Right.
But you still have that Southeastern culture.
Right.
And it kind of meets right in the middle in Arkansas,
right in the middle.
Which
yeah.
is great.
I always say it's where the New South meets the Old West. It's like just this, it's a perfect blend. That's so crazy you picked up on that. Nobody really ever, it's an odd place because you just, I don't know, you drive like 2 hours and you hit the center of the state and all of a sudden it's a totally different animal.
Oh, dude, it's a wasteland. You've got armadillos everywhere, bro. Then you go up towards the Ozarks. You go up to, like, Mountain Home, and, like,
yep.
you go to the base of the Ozarks, which that was a great fucking show. I love the Ozarks, But,
yeah.
But, like, yeah, it's...
It was a good show.
You have different... And then you have cities that are, like, Little Rock, and then you have a great college town like Fayetteville.
Yeah.
Then there's also, like, other college towns as well. There's, like... Because I have a cousin, I think, that went to Central Arkansas, right?
That's where my brother went. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a good town.
Like, there's some random, like, colleges that just kind of pop up.
Yeah. It's a great place to grow up. But it's an even better place to leave for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you still have family down there?
Everybody that I'm possibly related to lives in...
Possibly related
Fort
to.
Fort Smith, Arkansas.
So we think there could be some stragglers out there somewhere?
Yeah.
That's awesome. How long have you been here in Nashville? When did that move happen?
So I moved here in summer of 2019. I was here for like 3.5 years, and then once my wife and I started having kids, we moved back to Arkansas.
So you're back there now.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So whenever I, before a show or before a tour, I just come out here a couple days before, have all my meetings, we do some rehearsals, and then do whatever we need to do.
Yeah.
And we make it work.
Well, do you do a lot of shows in Texas? Is Texas like a big market for you? Do you kind of bounce around wherever?
I mean, we do a fair amount. We bounce around all over. The tour that I just got off of, we did Denver, Birmingham, New York City, Pittsburgh, Chicago, Indianapolis. I've been fortunate enough to open for enough people that have taken us kind of all over the U.S. Yeah. So we wanted to use this chance to just go back and like revisit some of these markets. Fortunately, it's all over the country. So
yeah, you know, I was gonna say if you're doing a fair amount in Texas, like Arkansas isn't a bad place to be to crack into the Texas market. Yeah. Like you're right near the border there, so you can play all those towns because that Texas, Arkansas, Oklahoma, that you know, like red dirt scene.
Yeah,
there are people that just make a great living.
They do
touring that.
Yeah, I haven't really dived headfirst into that scene. But we've played Tulsa a bunch. We've played a bunch of Texas shows, but it's just been all over the state. We haven't kind of nailed down. I just don't think I'm there yet. I don't think I've like nailed down a market that's like my market, if you will. You know.
So if you say you're not there yet, where do you think we are? Because we've announced this album.
Where are we?
We've announced this. Well, where are we right now? We're in Old Hickory, Tennessee, I think, unless we're like in a parallel. I don't know. Could be a simulation, bro. Who knows? you've got this record coming out. Your start that you've announced, and this year is going to be a big one. Talking about 2025 right here, like. Where do you think you are at, like, musically? And you said 24 was big with you going out and getting great opportunities on the road. And yeah.
Well, that was 2023. I did almost 100 shows in 2023, just basically working as an opener. We did Hank Williams Jr., Old Crow Medicine Show, Dwight Yoakam, Parker McCollum.
So you're out with, like, the guys that are at the top right now and then, like, legends that are, like, OGs playing, like, theaters and things like that.
It was insane. Like, the fact that they gave us a shot to, like, come open for them was...
That's sick.
A lot of fun.
That's sick.
But we did that in 2023. 2024 was kind of, let's get... I signed a record deal with Rounder Records. I finalized my new album. We went on my first headline tour, revisiting all those markets.
Yeah, which is important to do.
Yeah, right. Just wanted to see kind of where we were at.
Yeah.
So where are we now? I think for 2025, it's going to be, I want to get this album out and make sure that it does the best that it can. Promote it, put the songs out. And I really am proud of these new songs. I definitely think that they're like a step, a mature step in the right direction. So I don't know. I think people will dig it, but
yeah,
I mean, all you can hope is that people listen to the songs and then, you know, we can continue to go out on tours and more people come. That's really all you can hope for. If they're not coming, then, you know, I still got Alfredo back. They would let me come back.
Yeah. But I don't think you're going to have to go back to that. The streaming numbers have been solid, dude. And it's like right now is a time where you can have kind of that throwback to the themes where there is that soulfulness and there is that storytelling, what guys like Merle and Willie and that era did. Yeah. Like, I feel like there's like a renaissance right now, like a resurgence of guys and girls bringing back that deeper shit. Like, we're post bro country right now, and there's still I love all different flavors in the country music ice cream shop. There's so many flavors out there, and it's great. But right now, one of the flavors that's kind of rising up is similar to the world that you're doing, and there's other guys and girls doing that. So how does it feel to kind of be a part of that resurgence of the soulfulness and doing something like that, and not like necessarily doing it because other people are doing it, but doing it because that's who you are, that's what you love.
Well, I appreciate you putting me in that category. That's very sweet. I'm pumped. I mean, it's just, you know, at the end of the day, it's just making music that means something to you. And I think that the music that we're hearing is really good music. It's very organic. It's very natural. Yeah. It's just players sitting down and playing their music through, you know, their amp, and that's what we're recording. And there's not you're seeing less and less tracks being used and heavy production, and that's a cool thing. I mean, it's just organic music. Yeah. So if that's what we're doing, I'm happy to be a part of that.
Yeah, dude. No, that's for sure. And what's so cool, like you said, like the live show is an important thing for you.
Definitely.
Like getting out and getting to show yourself and winning fans over, winning over Hank Jr. fans, Dwight Yoakam fans, Old Crow fans. Like, and so then when they go and check out the record, it should sound like that.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and the live show is just so fun. I mean, we just, when we take stage, I mean, it's just like, let's just have a really good time.
Yeah.
And we do. So I think that's been the most fun is like, I'm nowhere near selling out venues or we're lucky to have, when we hit a new town, like have a few people come out and it's like, I'm just at that point in my career where it's like, you know, some nights like you play a show and like no one comes. It's just like, that's the reality of it when you're growing.
And right now is a tough time for tickets.
Definitely.
It's like, it's because when I was out on the road with different people, it was like right before COVID. And then when I was out with Trey Lewis, it was when I went to Fort Smith, that was during 2021. Like that was like, I remember I was in the Majestic wearing a mask and we still had a great time. It's like back then there weren't as many people like in the Sandbox. Right now, dude, there are so, I described it the other day. I was on another podcast with a buddy, and I said like the road, it's easier to get out of the driveway and get on the road to like being an artist. Like it's easier than ever to get your music out there, like physically get in the studio, like distribute it.
Yeah.
But the highway of people, the congestion, it's like you're driving on I-40 and it's just backed up.
Yeah. Every semi is in the left lane.
Every semi is in the left lane because there's so many, like today being a Friday, there had to be like probably 200-300, maybe even more country songs that came out this week.
Yeah.
It wasn't always like that.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like you factor that in with the touring. It's like there's so many shows. The markets, it's tougher. Yeah. And the world's been in a weird place too. So I think everybody's kind of been down across the board as far as tickets.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the reality of it. You know, I mean, I think it's no different than any other. If we were going to just start a small business, you have a product that you make, and if it's a good product and your customers like it and they pay money for it, then, and you deliver, then you just like keep going and then you acquire a few more customers and a few more. If there's no customers and they're not liking the product that you're making, then, you know, it's more a question of like, is this what I need to be doing? Is this, you know, do I need to reroute? Do I need to change like the product I'm making? Or, you know, it's not always, I think sometimes it's easy for artists like get up in the clouds in their heads and like kind of be mystical about the whole thing. It's like, when's my break going to come? And it's like, man, if we just break it down to like just a finite, like this is a small business.
Yeah.
You know, and you think about your fans that way and like slowly growing fan by fan. I mean, I think that's a better way to do it because it's easy to get lost in the hype and get lost in the breakthrough moments like your Zach Bryan's or your Red Clay Strays that blow up from a viral moment. It's just not reality. It's a great thing and that's awesome. It worked for them and it has worked and they took the opportunity. They did a great job with it. But that's not going to happen for everybody.
Yeah.
So you've got to just continue to grow slowly and like and make sure that the product you're making is the best that it can be. So that's what.
Amen.
That's what we're trying to do, dadgummit.
Dadgummit. Amen. That's awesome, dude. No, I couldn't agree more. And everybody's path is going to be a little different.
That's right.
Too.
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody's path in this music thing and everybody's definition of where of what success kind of is different too.
That's right. Yeah.
Like it's great to be at the very, very top. That's awesome to have that commercial success. But like guys like Combs and Wallen and Zach, they can't really go anywhere.
Yeah.
You're kind of confined. Like it's different, you know? Like you get to a point and reality kind of changes around you too. It's like you like what is the definition of success for everyone?
Right.
And also what you were saying, like I definitely resonate with like looking at the like comparing to like the world around you and just like staying dialed in and not getting lost.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to have your blinders on.
You do. You do. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. It's really cool that you can just, if you want to do music, you can start and then you can grow it to create a business that will feed your family and pay your bills.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You don't have to be Morgan Wallen or, or Luke Combs.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't want to, like to your point about defining success,
yeah.
if success to you is just like making sure that your family's fed,
yeah.
it's pretty cool that you can do that while entertaining people.
And making stuff like for someone like you with the songwriting and the depth of the lyrics that you get to channel that inner thing where you get to be vulnerable and you get to put out art that people are going to enjoy
yeah.
that can also put
yeah.
food on the table. So you don't have to do some, right. you don't have to go out there with Alfredo and yeah. cut some lawns, you know?
I do miss it sometimes, but, but yeah. yeah. It's just, it's cool that we can make art and that can be our means to make a living. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It's really special.
Yeah, it is. It is special, dude. It's really cool. So tell us all about this new record. What's it called? How many tracks? Like, tell the people what's going on with this.
Let me tell the people.
The people. I do declare.
This new album is called Blue Sky Sundays.
Blue Sky Sundays.
It's got 9 songs on it.
Heck yeah.
One less than 10.
One less than 10. Was that for a certain reason? Do we like the odd numbers? It stands out a little bit. Do we like number 9? I'm trying to think of number 9.
It was just
things.
All that I could come up with.
I just didn't
have an extra one to make it 10.
Hey, honest answer. That makes sense.
So basically what happened was that I went to my manager and said, you know, we've now done, you know, 80 shows on the road. And we've gotten really tight as a band. We sound way different than we did whenever we started.
Yeah.
We sound way better than... I think we sound way better and tighter than my first record did. So I would like to go into the studio and try to record some demos with my live band.
Oh, sick.
It was just supposed to be demos.
Okay.
And... I was going to produce. I wanted to try out producing and see if I could do it. And we came out 5 days later. We recorded down at Sound Emporium.
Nice.
And we only did that because it was next to Martin's Barbecue so that we could, during lunch break, go get Martin's. It's the greatest. It's the greatest of all
notch,
time.
Top notch.
Greatest
barbecue.
Of all time. And you haters, you Ed Lease haters, you can. Suck it.
I like Ed Lease.
I do. That's a joke. I love Ed Lease so much.
But I don't understand the beef, no pun intended, of the Martins.
That was
pretty good. I was nice. Proud of myself for that. The Ed Lease Martins beef, because great barbecue can be great barbecue. But yeah, so you go in to cut those as demos.
Yeah.
Sound Emporium.
And we come out 5 days later, and it's like, we this is pretty special. So, we... Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like where it all turned. And then it was, I guess 6 months later, we were able to hop into the studio with Vance Powell to mix the record.
Oh, nice. Cool.
And then a few months later, got a record deal with the album and then went on the tour and basically started planning the rollout of Blue Sky Sundays. So
it's crazy how it can just kind of flip, but it's like, one, it's like the right place, right time.
It is.
And it's just the stars kind of aligning, but it's also a testament to like the guys that you surround yourself with in your band to be able to go in and make demos sound so good to where the rest of the team is like, let's get in there and
yeah.
let's put this thing out.
Yeah, they did an incredible job. And I knew they would. I mean, they're great players. It was just really cool because I think what made the album sound so good, I was actually talking about this last night at the bonfire I was at.
Oh, yeah.
They said that, you know, you can hear the joy and the fun that's being had when making an album. And typically those albums do really well.
Yeah.
And then albums that had a ton of pressure put on them and deadlines and, you know, just require it was a project that they were like putting way too much pressure to make it a huge thing. And like, we got to try to get some yeah. Grammy noms for this, you know, whatever, all the
yeah,
things.
Fuck all that, dude.
Like they maybe don't do as well.
Yeah, and, of course. Yeah. Makes sense.
I'm so proud of this record because that was the atmosphere that we were recording in. It was just clowning around a bunch of buddies. You know, if somebody like tried a solo and they were like kind of down, like, man, I can't really seem to get it. Just like I'd go sit in there with them and it was like, all right, take it again. Like, let's try this. And then it would just be like, you know, the most beautiful thing ever. So it's just, I'm so happy that I have a record that I was able to record with my live band.
Yes, tell me about the live band. How many guys do we got in it? And kind of tell me about some of these boys, because it's important to have the right people, and it's important, obviously, you want guys that you sound great with.
Yeah.
But the hang and the chemistry of like your road family is so key and important.
It is. It's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Probably more important than being good at your instrument.
Right? The hang is so, you want guys that you're not afraid to be broke down with on the side of the road in like
right.
fucking Dubuque, Iowa or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I've got, right now I've got a guitar player named Bo Allman. He's from Covington, Louisiana.
Hell yeah.
He's a shredder. I've got a bass player from Bowling Green, Kentucky by the name of Lee Williams. He's got two big hands and can just rip the bass.
Oh, sick.
And then I've got my childhood friend from Fort Smith, Arkansas on the drums, Kirby Bland, who is basically like if John Bonham and I'm going to blank on his name. Dadgummit.
Who do you play for? What guy are you trying to think of?
This might be where you got to do one of those production cuts right there. dang, I can't remember his name.
What band was it?
He drums with everybody, but he drummed in the John Mayer trio.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, you're over my head with the John Mayer stuff. I don't know. But another
doesn't
great
matter. Yes. Great drummer, Kirby Bland. My drummer is a great drummer. Yes. That's period. enough said.
Yeah.
I digress. Wow, people are going to roast me for not knowing.
We'll take it out. We'll reset right here. So your drummer has like that John Bonham, just like a legend.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah,
thing
he's great. He's great. They're all great. And so, it's usually the four of us, you know, in a van. This tour we had our buddy Leon Meissen opening up. He was opening up acoustic every night.
I know Leon.
Do you know Leon? Okay.
Yeah, we've had Leon play a couple of our Raise Rowdy events.
Okay,
and
right on.
He is awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So it was so fun having him open up all the shows. But so it was, yeah, it was, it's always the four of us, and we just kind of, I don't know, we're all very similar in kind of what, you know, it's the hang. It's like we find certain things funny, we joke about the same things, you know, if somebody's upset, we know kind of how to decompress the situation.
It's like being on a team, dude.
Yeah.
So did you play sports growing up?
I did, yeah.
I feel like that's a big thing that makes touring a little bit easier, because it's like you're on the road to a game, but but you're playing in a conference that spans the whole country.
That's right.
And sometimes the whole world.
It definitely is that, and you can tell when musicians haven't played sports, because there will be like a little bit of disconnect with like that kind of team mentality of like, we got to rally just because this situation, excuse me, this situation sucks. We got to get through it. And you know, sometimes, you know, in the past, like that hasn't always worked out. And so we've had to like, you know, bounce around, until we found people that like, do they have a good attitude? Are they willing to work for the cause? Cause like, when you're an artist, like at the very early stages, you make no money.
Yeah.
Which in turn means you have no money to pay people. But the band everybody expects to be paid. They need to be paid.
Yes.
So you've got to figure out where that money's going to come from to cover your band.
Yeah. You need guys that are going to invest and be like, this thing is going to end up here. And there's the people that believe in you and are in it for what you're doing, for what the JD Clayton LLC is doing, you know, like seriously, like that are in it to like, there's so many guys that I can like think of that are different players who started out with people and are still with them to this day. Like think of the guys that are in Cody Johnson's band that started with him over a decade ago, making no money. And now where that's at, you know, like you invest that time.
Well, I think that that's more a testament to the players.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have to have the guys and girls that can do that.
They have to be willing to fight for their, you know, their boss, whoever they want to play for. It's up to them to decide if they're willing to believe in that person.
Yeah.
And but you know, I as a leader of a band, and like as a boss of a company, like I try my best to make sure that the atmosphere in which these guys are working in is like the absolute best. And so we do go out of our way to make sure that our whole crew and team is like just really dialed, and like they have what they need, and like they're taken care of, so that they have, there's when it's time to do their work, they can do it to the best of their ability.
Yeah.
And they don't have to worry about the other things. And that's why I was so jazzed on this tour that we just did, because like it went off without a hinge. I mean, or without a hitch. It was just like perfect the whole way through.
Yeah.
It was really nice.
That's great.
And that doesn't typically happen.
Oh, that's fucking rare. I've been on quite a few tours over the span of like 4 or 5 years. And yeah, there's always something. What was your favorite city to go to on this one?
Oh my gosh.
Your favorite place?
Dude, Denver is a lot of fun.
Denver's cool, dude.
We had a great crowd.
Yeah.
We always have a great crowd. And I love to fish, and so it was cool to Leon and I peeled off during the day and went and fished a little bit before the show, so that was really fun. That was probably the best. We sold out our show in Little Rock, Arkansas, which was
big deal.
It was really special. It was like a hometown show, kind of, you know, or a home state show, and
it's a big deal.
It was amazing.
What was the cap of like the room? Like
was it, very, like a, it wouldn't. It was like it was, 150. So,
but what's cool about that is that it's an intimate thing.
It was intimate.
And you see every face.
Yeah.
That's in there.
It was just like what you're saying. I mean, it was like, I can't even explain. It was so fun. We just had the best time. Everybody was just having so much fun being there.
Hell yeah.
I would do that night over and over and over again. Like every weekend.
And now it's like you're building up in certain markets where you're selling these tickets. Like you go out, you open for whoever, and then you go back, do your own thing.
Yeah.
And each time that you go back, especially with this album coming out, it's like you're gonna hopefully go from that room to the bigger room.
And I hope that'd be awesome.
Dude, that's the plan. That's how it works, dog. You know, that's how it works. So what was the place where you where it was like the toughest, like how was touring New York for you in the van?
New York's
tough because you can't fucking park anywhere.
Well, and on top of that, it was just a bad weekend. I dropped our U-Haul trailer on my big toe.
Oh no.
And
fuck.
Took the nail, broke the toe, and then took the nail just clean. It's just
What day on the road was that? Was that leaving out?
That was the day before we were supposed to drive the whole way to New York.
Oh,
from
no.
Nashville. Yeah.
Oh, no. Day before. Fucking wheels up. Fuck.
It was wheels up, and I was taking the trailer back, and they were just going to pick me up at the U-Haul place.
Yeah.
And then it happened. And so then we were, like, delayed by 2 hours to get on the road. And then we show up to New York, and I don't know what I was thinking, but I, like, my wife was going to come see the show and like it was going to be real special. And I don't know, man. I blanked on our logistics, and I had the band all at Central Park to do like a classic New York hang, and like we'll get coffee, walk in the park. It was great. But I had my wife like route to the park instead of going to the hotel first.
Oh.
And she had like all her luggage. So we're like going through Central Park, I'm pulling her luggage with a boot on, with my toe just bleeding out of the boot.
It's not the first time there's been luggage in Central Park. And like,
and probably blood.
And blood. Yeah. And then the same thing for sure. There's definitely people pulling luggage with boots on with blood.
It was just, I was just like, what? I don't even want to be around anymore.
Yeah.
You know what? I give up. This is too much. But the show was great. You know, playing in New York is really interesting because you, especially at most venues are like this, but Bowery, where did we play?
Bowery was in Rockwood?
No, it was Mercury Lounge.
Oh, dude, tell me you went to Katz. Did you go to the deli?
We did not. It was closed.
What do you mean your cats was closed?
They have started closing at, I think it's either 11 p.m. or midnight on weeknights.
Oh, those lazy bastards.
I know.
That's
a
fucking institution.
They only
Seinfeld in there.
When Harry Met Sally, they stay open till 2 on Friday and Saturday now. But in February when I went, I didn't realize that I was there on a weekend night. And so I got to go after the show, and I didn't check the times or anything.
Yeah.
So I was like hyping it up to the band. I was like, we're going to go to Katz. Like, it's going to be the greatest thing
$30 ever. Pastrami sandwich going to change your life.
Dude, we got, it was really funny because we were like asking the guy at the front, like, man, what do you like? And, you know, everybody gets the pastrami. But he was like, man, why don't you ask them for the brisket?
Oh, the brisket's good too, yeah.
And So we're like, all right, we'll ask for the brisket. We get up there. It's this huge dude cutting the meat and preparing the sandwiches.
Always the big guy doing the meat.
Yeah. And I was like, my buddy asked about the pastrami, and I was like, that guy, I would love to try the brisket. And he just like slams the knife down, and he looks at me like very mad. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll do pastrami. And he walks away. Pulls open this giant cooler, grabs a huge fresh brisket, drops it down in front of him, again, very like, looks like he's aggravated, and then just starts cutting, and he looks at me and he goes, the brisket's my favorite too.
And I was like, that smug New Yorker. You think he's pissed, but he's like, respect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so he ended up making, he made one brisket sandwich, one pastrami sandwich, cut them in half, split it, so me and my buddy got to have half a pastrami, half a brisket. It was the greatest night of my life.
Shout
it was incredible.
Out, shout out to the big.
Besides my kid being born, having a brisket and pastrami at Cats was the greatest
Hell
of all time.
I love that, dude. I love that. That's fucking awesome. Mercury Lounge is a cool spot because there's like three or four shows there every night.
Well, that was what we didn't realize.
Yeah, dude, it's a different thing. It's kind of like the OG basement here.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that vibe.
But that whole, like, you know, you're stressed because of traffic. You're in a new town. You don't know.
Where do we park? Where do we park?
So you pull up in, like, the delivery lane. You can only be there for, like, seconds. Unload your whole van.
Yeah.
Set the stage up. Sound check. Do a full sound check. Run your songs. And then you have to completely pull everything off stage.
Yeah.
Complete new stage. Then the next band gets on. So before your show, you have 15 minutes to reset the entire stage, and you just pray that your settings from your sound check are the same as they were, which they're not.
No, of course not.
And my guitar was like all jacked up and wouldn't stay in tune. And then you've got like industry people coming out that live in New York. I was just like, this is... Why? You know, this was supposed to be a really magical weekend.
Yeah, but you know what? That's part, and then what's cool too, and what's wild, is that over those three or four shows on like any given night, it's three or four different styles. So you'll have like what you do, and then you'll have like a metalcore or like a punk band.
Dude.
And then you'll have like a DJ or like a industrial pop or like this, or then you'll have like a jazz band. Like it's literally everything.
The band before us was like was Korean indie rock.
Korean indie rock.
That like, was a trip.
Oh,
it was
so you
awesome.
Had no idea what they were saying.
Not exactly. No, I haven't freshened up on.
I haven't either. It's been a while,
but I'm going to, and I took a lot of videos so I can watch back and figure out what they were saying.
And what's funny too is it's such like a small room, and then you go out and it's like the way that they flow people in and out. Yeah. So it's like you have Korean indie coming out as the JD.
Yeah, as crowd like a bunch of dudes wearing flannels and vests come in, and they're,
they're like, "What's going on?"
Just. Wow, this is something.
Yeah, dude, that's the magic of New York City. You get to have that was one thing I took. I appreciate the city now that I don't live up there.
Yeah.
More so than I ever did when I lived up there. I used to wish that it would float away because it was taxes, it was fucking expensive, it was the traffic, it was always bullshit going on. But now that I'm away, I'm like, now I get what everybody fucking talks about. It's one of the greatest cities in the world.
It's so fun, man. I would. That's a place that I would go to way more if I could. Despite all those things that happened, it was such a great weekend. And, I can't wait till we get to, you know, play there every tour.
Hell yeah.
It's just a blast.
That's awesome. Did you go anywhere else in the Northeast on that run?
Yeah, we did Pittsburgh and also, there was one other show.
Philly, Hartford, Boston.
We didn't do Philly. We,
Maine.
I can't remember.
Somewhere in the Northeast.
Somewhere in the Northeast.
Okay, cool. Pittsburgh's cool. So Pittsburgh's actually where Raised Rowdy started. I've never been to Pittsburgh, but Nikki T, my business partner and the founder of Raised Rowdy, is from Pittsburgh. So cool. Raised Rowdy started as like a group of guys and girls that would go to club shows, and then go to festivals and hang out at the side stages and watch the up-and-comers. When the up-and-comers were like the the Luke Combs, the Riley Greens, the Muscadines, like the Laneys, like those people. And but it started in Pittsburgh. But people going to club shows similar to what you're talking about, like the Mercury Lounge. So which venue? Do you remember the venue in Pittsburgh?
It wasn't
Jurgles, was it?
No.
Stage AE?
Nope. I've played that place before.
You have played that one.
And we opened for Vincent Neil Emerson there.
Oh, nice.
You know him?
Yeah, it's a cool show.
Yeah, it was cool. But now, where did we play? Golly, I'm sorry. I'm blanking.
T-Bird Fire.
No.
There's like all kinds of.
There's
like
so many little. This was a smaller hole in the wall. Yeah. I'm just blanking right now.
That's okay, dude. You've been to a lot of different places. So some of the people that you've gone to open for, which one was like, which artist was kind of your favorite or the one that you learned the most from?
I was talking about this the other night. Old Crow Medicine Show has been like a bunch of big brothers for us. Like we've gotten open for them like four times, maybe nice. More than that. And they're just really sweet people and have taken us in and been a lot of acts won't talk to the opener. They'll just avoid them or like, you know, they're stay on their bus, which is fine. I mean, like, you know, everybody's different. But these guys have been really great to like go out of their way and like, you know, make sure that we're taken care of. And it's just the best. We look up to them a lot and shout out Big Mike and Catch. They've been a blast to open for. I really enjoyed opening for. Well, so we did an amphitheater with Old Crow and Hank Williams Jr.
Oh, you had them both. Where was that at?
It was in Alpharetta, Georgia.
Oh, fuck
yeah. At the outdoor amp.
Yeah, Georgia crowds are just a little bit different. Those folks get rowdy, especially for Hank and Old Crow. Dude. Like, that's a good show to be
And then
on.
It started pouring rain, and Hank came out and sang Dinosaur Acoustic.
Oh, and the people went nuts. That's like the Georgia State Anthem. They love that shit. They go crazy.
Great, really great moment.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah. Really great moment.
It's just electric.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. It was raining.
It was raining and it was acoustic.
It was almost about to get very electric.
Yes.
They had to cut the show short. Had to cut it. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, it was very electric.
That's awesome. If you and the boys, you're on the road, you got one of those long, like 14-hour drives to New York, you pull into like a Love's, what are you getting?
I'll get a sugar-free Red Bull. I'll get the Jack Link's teriyaki beef stick.
The teriyaki and then, stuff's good, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'll get some honey roasted peanuts. And then I'll probably get one of those, like, the Gatorade, like, Pedialyte, like
the Gatorlite. Yeah, that shit helps you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See, I've been sober for a long time, so I haven't had a hangover. And like, I've had like where I've like greened out and I've smoked too much the night before, and then you still feel it in the morning. But I haven't been like hungover now and coming up on like 7 years. But when I was on the road, the guys that would get hungover, they'd still be sleeping in the van, and I would just get them Gatorlite. Yeah. Like that was the one I would just give, brings them to life.
Yeah. I'll be sober a year in January 1st.
Oh, so sick. Congrats, like, dude.
Thanks, dude.
That's fucking awesome.
So, but I still drink the Gatorlite cause it just kind of, sometimes, you know, if you haven't had enough water or whatever, you gotta be, the vocals gotta be ready. So
yeah. Do you talk about your sobriety a lot? Like, is that something that's
no,
like,
and it's not really a thing. I mean, I was just trying it out back in January. I just kind of had dry January.
Yeah,
I had a rough. I just was kind of in a rough spot and thought it'd be good to get clear headed. And you know, I knew I wanted to get a record deal this year, and that was a big goal. So I wanted to be sharp for that. I tried out dry January, and then I just kind of kept going. And then
I got 24.
Yeah, turned into the year. So I don't know. I don't know if I'll keep going. But it was just something I wanted to try out, and it's been really good for me. So
the clarity's nice, dude.
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is. But getting enough sleep the night before a podcast is another thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. No, that's so. Last night, so fire. What was the hang like? What was going on?
It was good. It was good. No, it was just it was one of those classic hangs where you just kind of talk about the good things at hand, what's to come. You know, those like. Where do you want to be, you know, one of those fire hangs?
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Yeah, see, I had a Red Door night last night.
Those are fun too.
Yeah, it's like a black hole. So I was saying my buddy Joe over there was like, because he's just visiting from New York, and he's been the Red Door. I've taken him the Red Door before, but we showed him the hole in the floorboard for the first time.
Nice.
So he got to see that, and then we got him. I think we got him some root beer float shots. But he's been telling everybody, he's like, man, I live in New York. I can't black out. You guys can't get me to black out. And they were trying to get him to black out. The man didn't pay for a drink in the bar the whole night. They were just handing him to him. So it turned into, and then we popped this Whataburger cherry last night.
Whataburger's
solid.
It's a great cherry to pop if you're gonna pop one.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Whataburger. Growing up in Texas, like being a border state to Texas, you get a lot of that culture. Which of like the Texas exports of like the Whataburgers, the Buc-ee's, like which one's kind of your favorite?
Well, it kind of depends on
or
who
even
I'm,
something I didn't even name. Like,
no, yeah, those are the two greats. I mean, it depends on who I'm with. So my father-in-law is a graduate of Texas A&M, and so sometimes we'll go see Aggie games.
Oh, with the yelling, the yell leaders.
Midnight yell practice, all the whole thing. We do it all. And I do it for him. It's good. My love for Daryl.
God bless Daryl.
But when he took me to one of the games, this was like a couple years back.
Yeah.
I kid you not. We left on a Thursday afternoon. We stopped at the first Whataburger we came to as soon as we got into Texas for dinner. Spent the night. Woke up the next morning. Went to Whataburger for breakfast. And then we had Whataburger for lunch. Before the game, it's not a bit. I have never in my life been, I don't even need to go like in full detail, but I was sicker than a dog.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I mean,
three consecutive meals? That's a lot of fucking Whataburger.
He loves Whataburger.
Yeah, he's a Texan. Of course he does.
But wow.
Yeah.
The body was not ready. I'm still recovering. It's been like 3 years. Things just aren't the same.
What'd you get? So did you get what'd you get? Do you remember what you got for the breakfast? Did you get the honey? I call it the honey boo boo biscuit. The honey butter chicken biscuit.
Yes. Yeah. He
That's
was
what
like,
I told Joe he had to get last night, but he backed out on the honey butter chicken biscuit. I'm like, well, it changes your life.
New Yorkers, you know.
Yeah, I know.
What are you gonna do? I'm walking. No.
Hey, I'm walking here. Yeah. What are some things that are like Arkansas things? Like you're talking about like New York, like what is like a classic? Like I know everybody does like the pig suey shit and whatever.
Yeah.
But like what's like some Arkansas slang? Like what separates Arkansas from say Louisiana or Mississippi?
Oh, I don't know. Man, again, back to what we were talking about earlier, where we are from in Arkansas is a very unique place because a lot of like that part of Arkansas was settled by people from North Carolina.
Oh.
So like we have like a... just a different accent than like as soon as you start driving anywhere, you know, outside of Fort Smith and the northwest part of Arkansas. So I don't know. If you hung out with me for like at around a fire, you'd find out.
I'd find out for sure.
My mom always says like, you know, if that's the ticket. That's the ticket right there.
That's the ticket.
You know, if we just bought some new boxes to like ship some trucker hats out on the website.
Nice.
You get those boxes in, like fold them up, put the hat in there. Man, those boxes, those are the ticket right there.
That's the ticket.
That's one, maybe.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one before. That sounds like some Arkansas shit.
I try to think
and
what
it's
else.
Like pig suey. Have you seen a razor like a live like ginormous pig?
Like oh the yeah, I mean, they're logo? Like rabbits. It's like a nuisance in like the outskirts.
Oh really?
Yeah.
So they're just everywhere. There's just fucking hogs. They have, just running wild.
Yeah. Not necessarily.
Not running
I mean,
wild.
You got it. Like, but if you go like down close to where I have a studio, if you go to like Hackett, Arkansas, which is like 20 minutes outside of Fort Smith, I mean. Yeah, in the hills, you'll have like actual like just you know hogs that are like 300 pounds that guys will hunt because they'll rut your yard up with their tusks and then their babies will all come behind to get all the little you know bugs and stuff and they'll just I mean they're a total nuisance but they have babies like rabbits
Yeah.
And they're huge. So, I mean, guys will get hired to go, you know, just take them out.
Yeah, like I've seen the videos of the, again, a very Texas thing, the helicopter.
Yeah.
The helicopter hog hunting.
Now that looks really fun.
That looks like something. I've actually never been hunting for anything.
Okay.
Like I've never gone on a hunt ever. New York suburbs, you can't really do a whole lot of that.
Yeah, pigeons are your best, and they probably
BB gun sniping some mall parking lot pigeons.
That'd be fun.
Would be something. Cool. That would be something.
You might get a sighting.
Might get a what?
You might get a little. You might get a ticket for that. I don't know.
Yeah, but you have to register a BB gun in New York now. It's a whole different world up there.
Are pigeons protected in New York?
Probably everything's protected. It's crazy. Like New York's different. Yeah, New York's different. There are pigeons, and the pigeons are mean, dude.
Yeah, like they're not great.
No, they have like they all fucking attack each other. It's like pigeon fight club in the mall parking lot.
They're perfect for sending messages, though.
Oh, they are. The New York ones, they're like angry. They won't do the work for you. They're like yelling, "Hey, I'm walking here."
Not great at sending messages, the New York pigeons.
No, not great. Not great at sending New York messages. So as far as this year, so we've got Blue Sky Sundays coming out. What else do we have as like some goals for this year? Like what is the JD Clayton, like new almost like a New Year's resolution in a way. Yeah. Like for as far as in the business sense.
That's a great question. I would love to. I'd love to do some more opening slots. I think that's like a great way to kind of get on the inside and learn how other artists do things, and learn from a bigger artist. And it's fun because you get to come into a situation where there's like a crowd that's already built in, and you get to hopefully, you know, make some new fans. Through their crowd. So that's what I want to definitely get out and do some more opening slots. But man, I don't know. I'm planning to take this next week and like sit down and kind of start to map some of that out with the team, but ahead of the new year. But I don't know. It's getting this album done and making sure that, you know, like everything from the artwork to the songs, that was my big focus. And so now it's like, it's exactly how I want it. And I know that once people hear the music, they're going to really enjoy it. So I don't know. It's kind of an open book right now. We're just going to kind of wait and see how people, you know, relate to the music.
What a feeling that is to like have that goal to get out a full album and then to see it all come to fruition and be what you want it to be.
Yeah. It's going to be really cool. I'm pumped.
Hell yeah.
I'm very pumped.
Hell yeah. Talk about the team that you've kind of got around you. So you've got, you said records, you've got management, you've got, what's it like to kind of have that team around you where you've been doing this for a while on the independent level of just kind of doing it yourself to now where you've got people in your corner advocating for you?
It's very hard to go from being an independent artist to having a large management team, a large booking agency, and then a record label. I mean, it's just difficult because everybody wants what's best for the artist and for the album at hand. They want to see it do really well, but you know, inherently, you just have a lot of cooks in the kitchen. Everybody has great ideas. But sometimes, like, you know, there can only be one idea at a time, and you've kind of got to whittle away at some of those. And so it's not that it's bad or good. It's just it's a little more challenging. You have more people that have a say, and their voice needs to be heard. So you've got to be better at. I've got to be better at being a listener and realizing that other people might have a different perspective that could potentially be better for the whole unit. And that's difficult for me. So it's something that I'm working through and learning and trying to get better at. But you know, a good problem to have. I love people. I love hanging out with people. I love spending time with people. So the more people that want to come on the train, the better. But you know, it does make it hard. Everybody's got to be able to work together. And it's like any other business or any other company. It's just that can be challenging.
Yeah, it's different
to work together with people, you know. Yeah, not everybody sees eye to eye all the time.
It's different departments within a business that are working together for a goal of success on a project and you as an artist. So, but yeah, it's a lot of collaboration and then they're collaborating with other people too. It's just there's a lot of stuff going on, but it's a good, like you said, it's a good position to be in to figure out, and you're going to figure it out with time.
Yeah. Well, and when you're an independent artist, like, you do everything. From step 1 to 100, you're doing it all and figuring out how it works. So when you move in and have like a big team, a lot of those steps and those tasks get taken away and get taken off the artist's shoulder. And that is that kind of losing control of your baby is like, it's a challenge. You have to learn to like let it go and be like, all right, this person's better at you at doing this. Like, let them do that, you know? Yeah. And it's just, it's hard.
Yeah, as far as when you were independent, what did you feel like as having the hands-on business stuff? Like, what do you think was like your strong suit with that? Because you're an artist, so you're a creator, and you're creative and writing the songs and then putting together the live show and focusing on that and then getting the music recorded. But as far as like the marketing or the scheduling the distribution or this or that, what was like your kind of favorite part or the part that you think you were strongest at?
Well, I mean, I legitimately enjoy it all. I was a marketing business major in college, and like, so I really do enjoy the process of like taking the song and then walking it down the whole, line to go, where can this fit? What's the story that I'm going to tell behind this? What's the art going to be? What do, the videos related to this need to be, who am I marketing to? Like, all that stuff I really enjoy, and it's important. And, it's not, you can't just make something and just like put it out and like hope for the best. There's a lot of work that goes into, kind of making sure that this story that's really important that I want to tell, that I want to reach people, I've got to make sure that it gets there and gets to the right people. And so, I just enjoy business and enjoy all the things that it takes to like.
And that's going to give you, it seems like it already has, but that gives you a leg up, because there are so many artists that don't quite understand that or don't have that passion, and their thing could be a different like strong suit within their business or whatever. But to have that, like that, to know what you kind of want to do and understanding how that works, I think that actually makes it easier for your team, because it's like you understand the marketing stuff.
Well, and it helps them because they can be given a clear vision of like where we're going, and then they know how to get that done. And if they're just guessing like where they think like this needs to go, it's like, that's a lot of work to ask of them, and then they get really burnt out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, I'm grateful to have kind of. I was going to be a biology major.
Oh, biology! Try to be
a dentist. So
a dentist.
That was a hard right turn. Yeah,
you're gonna be a fucking dentist.
Yeah, I was.
Just laughing gas to people.
Just
putting them to sleep and fucking sleep, with their teeth.
Making sure they look good. You know what I mean?
Making sure they look good. Yeah.
But I went a different route.
Yeah, I'm glad you went the route you did, dude. I'm sure you would have been a cool dentist.
I don't know. I would. I'll clean your teeth.
I don't know if you want to clean my teeth. I don't know. I used to be
active. No, not your teeth. I just mean someone.
Someone's teeth. Yeah, somebody's teeth will be cleaned by JD Clayton. Yeah, because I do a lot of this shit. I'm like, I used to be like a pack and a half to two packs of cigs a day. When I quit drinking, I just jumped to nicotine, and then I went from cigs to the vape, which is even worse than the cigs because you can just rip it anywhere. I used to call it my car cigarette when I was on the road. I'd be driving the van or the Sprinter or the bandwagon, and I'd just be ripping this fucking vape, just blowing clouds everywhere because I could smoke. I could hit it. I'm invincible. It's like you have that feeling where you're like, I'm him. I can hit a vape anywhere.
Yeah.
And now I'm down to this, but I don't know. It's done. I'm sure a number to my gums, all that nicotine and tobacco.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. And this stuff's nice because he's like, you don't have to spit it. Now, they're 8 milligrams, so they hit you in the mouth. Joe's got 9 milligrams ins over there.
Joe.
He bought them at a bodega in New York. Bodega in New York, you never know what you're going to get. You never know what you're going to walk out with.
Those are really special places.
They are. Look at those. Yeah, they're...
The 9 mil.
Oh, fuck.
Very nice. Incoming.
Yeah, look at that. Look at the fucking thing.
Wow. It's like Spearmint Slims.
And look, they're in... It's in Swedish. Is that Swedish? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't... I'm not familiar with those words.
Written in Swedish, which is just hilarious. The shit you can get in New York.
It's a wonderful place.
It's a cool spot. Nashville's a cool spot, too. What do you miss about not living here? Like, what do you miss about Nashville?
A lot of things.
Like what? What would be your top three things you miss about Nashville?
Martin's Barbecue.
Oh, yeah, Martin's. We talked about that. Yes. Yeah. What's your Martin's order? What are you eating?
Probably the... dry rub, spare ribs with Alabama White, French fries, and mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the wings there, too.
Yeah, great. Everything's great.
And you can get the wings with the vibe is great. Great.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Oh, I love that. You know what? What are you doing after this?
there's a Martin's not too far away. There's one out this way, which is cool.
I had it for dinner last night.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah, sick. Yeah, hell yeah. I'm actually doing a diet right now, the carnivore diet.
Oh, right.
I'm
doing
it to like drop weight. My sister's getting married next week. So I'm like trying to just slim down a little bit before I see the family. And my girlfriend was like, why don't you try the carnivore diet? It's just eating like meat and eggs and cheese. I'm like, I can do that.
There you go, dude. Just go to Martin's I'll have one of everything.
You just can't have the fixins.
Yeah, yeah. There's that's no it. Fixins. Yeah, just have the meat. I'll have the full rack of ribs, and I'll have the wings.
Yeah,
and then we'll have the brisket platter.
Yes,
and that should do it.
It's for like me. I'm Ron Swanson. Like, give me all of the bacon and eggs that you have.
Yeah,
I think you misunderstood.
Literally every single one that you have. Yes. I'll take.
Yes, yeah. all the steak and eggs, all the bacon and eggs. So Martin's Barbecue. What else?
I don't know, man. It's a great. You know, my wife and I started visiting Nashville when we were in college, and like we'd come out here and we just always said that whenever we graduate, we'd love to like move here. And it was just a thing we wanted. It wasn't even about the music. It was, we just loved the town and the vibe. And I'm joking about Martin's, but like the thing we miss the most is just all the people, all the friends and family that we like kind of built here. Yeah.
It's a hustler's paradise.
It really is.
If you want to create, if you want to grind, there's certain places in the world that have that. I like to think New York has that too, where it's like if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
That's right.
I think Chicago, places like Charlotte, obviously LA, like there's different cities that have that. And Nashville is very much that.
Yeah.
Where you want to, it's, there's just a buzz.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Whether you're going down the hill on Broadway, I know Broadway's chaotic. I was down there last night. I haven't gone down there frequently in years, but there's still just this rush because you have all those guys and girls trying to make it in the bars. You have the service industry working down there. You just have live music, people busting their asses. And it's just like, and then you go to Music Row, and then you go to those houses on the outskirts where people are writing. Like there's nowhere like it, dude.
Yeah. No, it's special. It's amazing. It's a great place. We enjoyed our time here, and I'd love to be back one day, but right now it's just important to make sure my kids are around their family and grandparents and
absolutely
while I'm touring. So, you know, a little, I wouldn't necessarily call it a sacrifice. It's, you know, it's a little bummer, but we'll be back.
Well, how far is the drive?
7.5.
Okay. That's not too bad.
No, it's fine.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. I wake up. I usually leave, around like 6 a.m. I get here around 2, and then I stop at a Starbucks in Memphis. That's my one stop. Go to the restroom, and then I make all my meetings in the afternoon. Then I do whatever. That's like my typical routine to get here. So I enjoy it. It's kind of become like a little, you know, thing.
Yeah, and then tell me about the little ones real quick. You got two. How old are they?
Two girls. I've got a 2-year-old and a 5-month-old. And they're crazy. they're crazy.
Yeah, I've gotten to spend time around. I have a little one in my life. My girlfriend has a 6-year-old daughter that I get to be around. And it's just like I find myself watching, like sitting on the couch watching Bluey or watching this. And I'm like, life is just different, but it's like magical getting to watch, like watch little kids grow up, especially girls, dude. They're so sweet. And how has that changed you? How has that changed kind of the dynamic of being a dad?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe you'd have to ask my wife.
Perspective, dude.
I think that it's made me, I think that it's helped me to slow down a little bit, because I'm very much, I like to say yes, and I typically take on too much to the point of like self-destruction.
Yeah.
And that's typically how it goes. And so with having the girls, it's like, you can't really get to that point. You just have to start saying no and slow down. And that's been a different pace of life. Like last night, you know, I stayed up till like midnight, one around the fire at home. I'm in bed by like 9.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just a huge lifestyle change. I used to have never done that. And it's good for me. I'm not complaining. It's just different. It's just different.
Yeah.
But it's really fun. It's fun to we'll get up in the morning and I'll put her up, my oldest, I'll put her up on the counter and make an espresso, and she'll drink her milk, and like we'll just like kind of talk about whatever, and then I'll pick her up and we'll go into the living room and put on like Cars or something, and or Bluey, or we watched Mary Poppins last week.
Nice.
Just some classics,
the hits.
You know, some Disney classics. Yes. It's pretty great. Yeah,
it's cool, man. Well, it sounds like life is, you're in a good spot, man.
Yeah, life is good. It's fun. I'm enjoying it. It's, you know, life is hard, no matter what. So you have to choose your hard. Choose where it's going to be difficult. And like, there's a lot of challenges that we've had, like in getting to this point. But like, that's the music industry, man. It's tough. You gotta have some grit to you if you're gonna make it.
Dude.
And when you like set all that stuff aside and just like look at where you're at, look at the people you work with and where you are, it's just like, man, it's the best. There's nothing like it.
No, there really isn't, dude. And hey, man, I appreciate the hell out of you.
Dude,
coming on here.
I appreciate you, man.
Dude,
sorry, I look like I haven't slept in years.
I haven't slept. I had a fucking 3 a.m. morning. I found myself, I was sitting inside of a Whataburger late night. We were the only guys in there. I think there were two other guys. They might have been homeless. I don't know. But it was me and Joe just sitting in there, and I'm doing the carnivore thing. So I'm sitting there eating.
Peeling off the bread.
Oh, dude, you can order it without the bread.
Nice.
They put in like a little to-go box with all the veggies on the side.
Yes.
I'm not touching that shit. Give me the meat, the cheese and the bacon,
dude. Good
and
on you, man.
It was
nice.
Delicious. But yeah, I feel you with the no sleep. I feel the same way. So no worries.
Those Whataburger or like Waffle House 3 a.m.s. Those are where you start to kind of like,
I'm gonna have to get into a Waffle House.
What am I doing? You know,
we don't have Waffle House up north. We have legitimate diners. We have diners that you open up the book. You open up the book. You open up the menu and it's like the King James. Like it's like 30-page menu in New Jersey.
I didn't realize that was a thing. I went to a legit diner in Connecticut.
Oh yeah.
In February, and it was just like what you're talking about. Like they're like, "What are you having?" I mean, I'll have the number 432.
Yeah.
And it's like a bowl of chili with a side of chicken fried steak.
Yeah.
And it's like, and she didn't even blink. She's just like, knows what that is. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Yeah. How do you have this much stuff?
Yeah, you can get a chicken parm, a steak, a bacon, egg, and cheese. Like, you can get all with the pie. They have the window with all the cakes. They
have
it all.
We're going to have the pie.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
I miss the pie.
The Jersey diners, bro, were the shit. And COVID's kind of changed. It changed that culture of the 24-hour diners in New Jersey. A lot of things up there changed. But I got to tell you, I'm going to take Joey to Waffle House at some point. What's your Waffle House order? You're late on the road.
I mean,
with the boys.
The easy is the All Star. I mean, I'll get.
Go with what you know.
Let me get some chocolate chip pancakes.
Ooh,
and then I
up.
Always ask them if they've got some peanut butter in the house, because I like to put that on the waffle.
Yeah.
Because it kind of mixes in with the chocolate chips.
Yes.
And then the syrup kind of acts as this, bed of goodness.
Yeah.
Whatever you're going through, no matter how hard it is, a trip to Waffle House will make sure that you will see the next day.
And you'll see other people going through some shit.
Right, right.
There's always something.
You'll realize I can make it one more day.
Yeah, I can make it one more day.
But after tomorrow,
who knows?
You know,
it's a moment to reconnect and find yourself with Tammy, who's giving you your food and stuff. It's awesome.
And she's a sweet lady.
Oh, she is. She's a very sweet lady, man. God bless the Waffle House. We love it and appreciate you seriously coming on. It's great to get to know you, dude.
Because
we
haven't met you before.
It's fun to do pods with folks that I've known for a long time, but I also love. And it's like the radio guy in me, when I get to meet someone for the first time, I jam out to their music. I love what you're doing, and then get to know you through a conversation that everybody else is getting to know us on too. You know, it's pretty sick.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for taking the
time.
So
Blue Sky Sundays, the album, it's been announced. Do we know the what was the release date? I forgot to look.
February 28th. Yeah.
Let's
put a pin in that.
Hell yeah.
Put a pin in that one.
Yep. End of February. Yes. Okay, cool. We're looking over. I like the Blue Jays hat too, by the way. Shout out to management over there. We didn't get any like hold up or anything, so that means we did good.
Yeah, no, we've done fine. No, I think we've done great. No,
yeah, we did good. We passed I always like having like someone from management in. It's like sometimes I'll look over and the suit will be like, why did you say that?
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
But then other times they're just like smiling, like, that was great.
It also looks good on the podcast because like the camera angles only show a certain spot and then when you do these like glances over, they're like, somebody else is in there.
Someone
else is in there.
Who's sitting in that chair?
Who's over there?
Who's over there? Or we could be looking at Butt Ruxpin up there.
Yeah.
Butt Ruxpin.
How you doing,
buddy? He's the biggest Creed fan. He's got Creed in his tape. There's a Creed tape in the back of that Teddy Ruxpin, and it doesn't work. It sounds like very bad, but that's our Creed.
Dude, he looks so comf right now.
Oh, dude, he's the man. He's always keeping watch. He's overnight security for this studio. We love Butt Ruxpin.
That's awesome.
But dude, I appreciate the hell out of you, JD Clayton.
Thank you
for coming on. And
thanks for
people
having me.
People can find you on.
The internet is where you can find me. JD Clayton Official is where I have all of my goodies. So go see what it's about.
Hell yeah, dude. And happy to have you as part of our kicking off the year here on Outside the Round.
I'm so happy to be here. Appreciate it, man.
Hell
Thank
yeah,
you
dude.
So much, dude.
Appreciate Boom. You. Blue Sky Sundays, going to be coming out end of February. Y'all be on the lookout for it. Our boy, JD Clayton, give him a follow and go check out his stuff. And be on the lookout for where he's going to be on the road this year in 2025. For more on us, you guys can visit RaiseRowdy.com. And as always, like, rate, subscribe. You like iced tea? Or no, you're sober. So does your wife drink?
She does, yeah, every once in a while. Yeah.
So what we can do, I'll still send you home with this.
Dude, thank you so much.
Right here. This is Surfside.
A little four-pack.
So they are, it is iced tea and vodka. They say no bubbles, no troubles. They're huge. They're getting huge around the country. They're a big sponsor. They've only got 2 grams of sugar and 100 calories.
Let's go.
You can crank those up.
Maybe I'll start back.
Right. Nah, I don't want to be a part of
that. You know what?
If you want to. I mean,
I'm having a really hard time right now.
I mean, apparently they just taste like iced tea. Like, that's what's dangerous about them. You don't even know. Like, I of course haven't had one, but like Nikki T and the other folks, everybody that we give them to loves them, and they're everywhere. So we'll send you in with a 4-pack of that. We got a shit ton of hats for you to go through, pick
awesome.
Stuff out.
Awesome.
And we always send you home with gifts and packages. Like I was saying, visit RaiseRowdy.com for more on us. Like, rate, subscribe. For my man JD, I'm Matt Burrell. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make them leave. So if you know me, if you really know me, you know I'm just a two-trick pony. But maybe the drinking and the lack of money for show, I'm just a two-trick pony.